Hi, this is Larry Jordan, the host of the Digital Production Buzz. The following interview was recorded live on the exhibit floor at the 2017 NAB Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. For all our NAB interviews, visit nabshowbuzz.com. And welcome back. My name is Larry Jordan. This is the Digital Production Buzz at NAB, the third day of our coverage and the start of shows every hour. And I can't think of a better person to start with than our next guest. Oliver Peters runs his own post-production services company in Florida and is an expert on the industry and somebody that I've always enjoyed talking to. Oliver, welcome.
Good morning.
So you've had, you know, all of 2 days to see the entire show. What's caught your eye?
Probably the news of the show for the folks in the post world is Resolve 14.
Now, why is that? We heard from Blackmagic Design, the first show on Monday, but why is it significant?
Well, first of all, it's a pretty monumental task to be able to integrate the features of another company you've acquired in something like 6 months. I mean, that's pretty much unheard of. But it's also sort of the holy grail for nonlinear editors because you have a high-end color correction system, high-end audio, and what's emerging to be a pretty powerful NLE all in the same box. So it's great for people who can do all of that, but at the same time, you can standardize on a format in a facility, have rooms for editing, have a hero room for audio, and a hero room for color correction.
And because they're all running the same application, the files will smoothly transfer from
correct,
one to the other.
Correct. No transfers, conversions, etc.
Cool. What else has caught your eye?
Well, I'm here looking a lot at the various SDR to HDR and that whole question of what are we faced with next in the industry. And HDR seems to be it. And like all of these things, there's no single standard at the moment. So we'll have an interesting few years ahead of us.
Are you hearing any feedback from your clients in terms of interest in HDR?
I don't think enough of them know enough to be interested in it. I think people always like brighter, more colorful images. I sort of euphemistically refer to that as the Best Buy effect. But I think once they see it, they'll like it. And I think it'll have more of an impact than greater resolution.
Do you think, as a running your own post house, do you think that the market for HDR is going to be in new projects, or are going to people come back and say, I want to do an older project and convert it?
Probably a little bit of both. In terms of the stuff I do, which is primarily corporate and commercial, I think it'll probably be new projects. If you're talking about people dealing with episodic television, then I think there's probably a lot of repurposing that's going to happen with at least not really old shows, but shows that have been produced in the last 5 years or so.
Are you seeing any SDR to HDR converters that are of interest to you yet?
AJA seems to be the one that's kind of there. Right now they're showing what they're calling the, FSHDR, and that's a technology preview, so it's not quite ready to sell yet. But it does the conversion in both directions and to several different standards, and it's based on various log profiles from camera footage, so Arri, Sony, etc. That's all built in.
The only challenge I saw with that, and we were chatting with HAA on Monday, is that it requires an HDSDI in. So you've got to have an analog signal flowing in. It's not file-based.
Right.
So I think the challenge for many of us is how do we do file-based shows and convert those to HDR, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a question for the industry as a whole. I mean, if you look at a lot of the products, they're really kind of stuck in an old paradigm. When you look at what Avid's calling the DNX IQ, which is the same as the Ultra Studio 4K Extreme 3, it's universal mastering. So I've got a 24 frame show, and I'm spitting it out as a 30 frame master for the network. And that product does that in real time, but really to tape. And a lot of the users these days are looking at that and going, well, I really need that function, but I need it as a file in, file out. And nobody's really there yet other than the traditional conversion companies, Telestream, Adobe with Adobe Media Encoder, Apple Compressor, and those.
What are you looking to see later today? What's caught your interest that you haven't had a chance to visit yet?
Well, I've kind of made the tour for everything.
You are a brave soul.
Well, a lot of it you kind of you go and say, that, well, that's not applicable, so I move on.
You're not
on.
Into television broadcast towers at the moment?
Nope. But cloud is big for me, so I'm doing some investigation on that. We have a number of clients that I work with that are looking at cloud as a way, not so much to distribute, but as a way to go from our end result to whatever they want to do, which is some sort of an OTT application.
So what projects are you working on now?
Right now, I'm doing primarily freelancing for one particular company that does a lot of work with the Carnival Corporation. And they're in.
So they're sending you on cruise ships all over the world.
Nope, not me. I get stuck in the edit bay, but we actually have a crew in Hamburg covering the retrofit of a ship in a dry dock while I'm here at NAB. And when I get back, I hit the ground running with footage of dry docks.
I just had another thought. One of the big challenges that we have in post is monitoring HDR. Mm-hmm. We got to take all of our broadcast monitors out and replace them with something else. What are you going to replace yours with?
Well, that's a good question because there's not a real good single standard, and I think most customers are probably going to end up with some sort of a consumer TV in there. And the high-end companies obviously are going to go with a Sony or a Canon or something like that. But you know, then you got Dolby Vision, which is way up there. And, you know, if you talk to the experts in that, it doesn't seem like anything really can achieve what Dolby Vision claims to, you know, be aiming for.
Yeah, it's, we're in an interim spec. We're going to hit the P3 now,
yeah,
which is like a third of the way there. Then we get to Rec 2100,
right,
and that's, we got to throw all our monitors out and get new monitors.
Yeah. Well, the monitor that I like right now is the new Hewlett-Packard Dream Color, which is the Z31X or something like that. I forget the exact name. But, you know, it's a $4,000 monitor. However, it's gorgeous, and it works as both a video monitor and a UI monitor, which is what I tend to see more in most edit suites, is the luxury of having external broadcast monitors is few and far between in a lot of companies.
Especially as budgets keep coming down. You don't want to, and if the hardware is going to change in 18 months, you don't want to spend $4,000 now only to have to throw it out in,
right,
in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Oliver, I love chatting with you because you're paying attention to the stuff that the rest of us editors are going to deal with in about 4 or 5 months. For people that want more information, where can they go on the web about you and your company?
Best place is either my regular website, oliverpeters.com, or my blog, digitalfilms.wordpress.com.
That website, the first website, Oliver Peters, OliverPeters, oliverpeters.com. Or for his blog, digitalfilms.wordpress.com. Oliver, how many more days are you staying at NAB?
I fly out tomorrow.
Well, have a wonderful day checking out the show. If you haven't had a chance to read Oliver Peters' blog, do take some time and read it. He has an insight into the industry, having worked in it for years, and being in love with gear, but not so in love with it that he loses sight of the fact that we actually have to make a living is very cool. Oliver, thanks for joining us
today. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Okay.